Hey, good morning, John.
Harry, can you hear us?
That?
That was me.
Oh, hi,
Can you
John.
hear us? Can you hear us?
Good being back.
Yeah, it was good to have you back.
Thank you.
John, thanks for the talk. Oh, well, we found out.
Harry, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you able and willing to be at a meeting at 6 o'clock on Friday?
This coming Friday?
Yes.
Yeah,
Or we
when
can delay it.
is it online or in person?
Yes, it's online.
Okay. Sure. What time is it again?
6 o'clock, 6 p.m.
6 o'clock on Friday. I don't think we've got anything else going on. Why don't you just email me and I'll confirm that, okay?
I'll do that.
I presume that's your birthday, right?
Well, it was actually a week or so ago, but you weren't available and I was
Okay.
kind of tied up. So
Okay.
we but I'd like to I would really appreciate it if you could come. And if you can't come this week, we'll schedule it for another week.
No, this week looks okay. I would be
Good.
on.
Thank you.
I'm honored.
I appreciate that so much.
Cool.
I'm the one who would be honored.
Well,
Florida? I did. Did you go to Florida? Yes, we did. Must have been the place to be.
good morning, Don.
It's John Russell.
Nice. That's there.
Okay.
What part were you in? Were you in? We went to Longboat King. And you went to Epcot? We did for a day. Oh, wow. All the way down there for
Really?
a day. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine, Jerry.
I figured.
Like the clock Friday.
My social secretary is putting it on my calendar.
Oh, thank
Yeah.
you very much.
You know where to go.
Yeah, it's on it's online.
Oh, online. Oh, okay.
Hey, Janet. Okay, we're just about there. Waiting for a couple of last minute people to come charging in.
Morning. I just charged in.
Good morning,
From
Paula.
Hala.
You just charged in.
Hi, Paula.
I
We
just charged in.
well, we've got room for a few more.
Okay.
Let's see. I think we'll begin. As usual, if you would like, kind of start off with a vision of being connected with one another. Being in a similar kind of energy flow. And to go along with the teachings from these books, essentially what we are doing is we are moving to a place, if we can use that word, moving to a place of higher vibration. The things of the world are still here, but we do not have to define ourselves by them. And we are not alone. So as I was looking over, today's lesson, and I just do that to just sort of prompt my mind to see where it's going to go. It came to me something that I hadn't thought of in a while, but there's a perfect example in Christian scripture of the higher and lower consciousness. And that is the story about Lazarus's two sisters, Martha and Mary, who were good friends of Jesus. And so happened that Jesus was visiting Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And he was just kind of hanging out. And somehow or another, Martha decided that she was the designated cook. And she probably volunteered for the job, knowing what Martha's like, which is fine. Mary decided that she was going to just sit at Jesus' feet and just sort of zone out. Just sort of be in this, be in the presence of unconditional love. And so Martha is working in the kitchen, and she sees Mary just sort of zoned out, spaced out in unconditional love while she's preparing dinner. Gets a little bit pissed off and starts banging the pots and pans together just to get somebody's attention. I'm working really hard in the kitchen. I'm walking here. I'm working really hard in the kitchen here. And Jesus finally looked up and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art busy about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part." Not that you're wrong, but you got so wrapped up in your role of being chief cook and bottle washer that you forgot the essence of who you are. Now, obviously, somebody still needs to cook dinner. But you can cook it like you can cook it in love rather than in anger or whatever else you want to put on there. And it might be time, this is not part of the story, but I can just imagine Jesus sort of poking Mary in the ribs and saying, "Go and help your sister. It's fine to sit in the sunlight, but somebody's got to cook dinner. Go and help your sister." To me, that was just a great example of higher and lower consciousness and the way it was taken care of without denying one side or the other. Saying, you know, maybe we can do something a little bit different here. So I just throw that out as being part of my life today, part of your life today, and see how it fits with whatever shows up in your life.
Jerry.
Yeah.
About Martha. Might have been thinking about what other people think about this. Seems like this chapter has a lot about
Could you talk right into the mic?
your perception that you're trying to project. Maybe Martha's trying to project image of herself being go.
I kind of missed the beginning of that, John.
Martha, maybe she was preoccupied with the perception that she was projecting.
Okay.
And seems like this chapter has a lot about that. To project your perception of yourself and people to image identified.
And that is essentially what the lower consciousness does quite often, right? Is it projects meaning into things and their own meaning into things. So, you know, Martha, and if we were to interpret this one way or another, Martha is projecting this image of being the chief cook and bottle washer, right? And someone who deserves and needs attention from other people, whereas Mary's kind of in this place of the best words I can think of is kind of zoned out. Not identity. I'm not sitting here saying, "Well, I'm here. I am zoned out in unconditional love. I just am." And so there's a difference between, like Thich Nhat Hanh said, you know, about doing the dishes. Make believe every dish is a little baby Buddha. You're not projecting anything outside of the picture. You're living in the truth. And so what we That might be a really good example, John, of just stopping every once in a while and say, am I projecting an image on this particular thing of how I expect to be treated or how I expect to be looked at? And once I find myself in that particular territory, the little button goes, ah, right, says, you're on the wrong track. Not, or I wouldn't say wrong track. You're on a limited track. You're limiting yourself because you are much more than that. I'm going to begin on page 226, even though we covered some of this already. Just for the sake of continuity. And again, what I'd like you to keep in mind here is that let's call it the difference. Language kind of breaks down here a little bit, but the difference between being in higher consciousness and lower consciousness. Just become aware of how that fits for you. Might be different for different people. Paul is asking, well, how the hell do we get there, this higher state of consciousness? Seems impossible. Understand, friends, it is impossible to the small self. And that is a question born of personality and of ego. The divine self knows the answer fully, 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 and can claim it on any day. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am here. I am here. I am here. If you can understand now that that claim is never made by the small self, because it can't, I mean, it can say the words, but the truth of that cannot be really resonated in small consciousness. You can align to the divine self and express it. The small self may say, I showed up on time. I am at the party at the right time. I'm cooking dinner. But the divine self makes the claim, I am here. Now, what we are learning is kind of a real tricky space is how can I be here and cook dinner at the same time? Okay, which I can. In fact, that was what Jesus' whole ministry, last 3 years of his life was all about, is how to be here now and be very practical. Every time he was confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees, they were looking for a way to hook him in, to judge him. They were looking through lower consciousness. And he always had a higher consciousness answer that made them absolutely insane. One of the best one ones, they wanted to know, see, they were living under Roman rule, which they really hated. And they came to him and said, should we pay our taxes to Rome? Figuring, well, that's a yes or no answer, right? And if he says yes, he's not a good Jew. And if he says no, then the Romans are going to get them, right? So we got them now. It's like that old story about these two kind of bully bratty kids talking to the town guru. And one of them said, I'm really going to get them this time. You see this little bird I have in my hand? So we're going to put him behind my back. And I'm going to ask him, is the bird I'm holding in my hand, is it dead or alive? And if he says it's dead, I'm going to let it go. And if he says it's alive, I'm going to squash it. So they get their courage up and they go to the town guru and he puts his hands behind his back, holding the little bird in one of his hands. Said, is this bird I'm holding in my hand, is it dead or alive? And the guru smiled and looked at him and said, my dear friend, that depends on you. Show me the coin of tribute, Jesus said. Whose face do you see on that coin? Caesar's. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And the scribes and the Pharisees went, ba 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 ba. How do we answer them? So he said very wonderfully, very simply, is that Most things in life are not yes or no answers. And in fact, they might change from one day to the next. But be aware of that. It is an attunement in many ways to the vibration we hold. And as we hold it and express it, we align it to all of you. In other words, it's happening right now. As you align to us in your field, your energy, you go into a tandem agreement to the claim we make for you. You are here, you are here, you are here. And the agreement manifests as the Christ as you in her own alignment, who doesn't care the way you think she does or how she is perceived. And when we say this intentionally, she doesn't think at all. How am I going to figure this out? Maybe not the divine self at all, because the divine self doesn't need to figure anything out. It's already there. It is the small self who does not yet know. The creations around you were chosen by you, yes. But so is every circumstance at one level or another. Because you are in agreement with them, because they are there, they are in tandem with you. We bring you up to the new claim so you may know in truth who and what you are. The creations around you were chosen by you. In metaphysical teaching, they tell us that before we incarnated in planet Earth this time around, or any other time really, before you incarnated, you got together with your angels and your guides and your higher consciousness, and you decided, what are the lessons I need to learn this time around? And when you decide upon that, you also decide or recognize that the circumstances to be able to learn those lessons are going to be both provided for you and created by you. So nothing happens, it's not predestination, but nothing happens by chance. Why is this happening to me? It was happening to me because I chose it to happen to me. And I chose it as a lesson to learn something from this time around. And the lesson that I am being asked to learn in a very general way overall is, how can I hold everyone and everything in the energy of unconditional love? No matter what it is, no matter how it shows up, no matter what disguises it might be wearing. Some people will approach life as needing a lot of excitement or chaos. Not my way of learning necessarily, but there it is. Of Course in Miracles still tells us that you can either learn through pain or through joy. I'm still working on that one. Not that I would deliberately choose pain, but there it is. I had a little simple incident of that. Yesterday, I was noticing that the light in my office downstairs was getting dimmer. It's an overhead light. So I figured one of the little bulbs must have burnt out, but I couldn't really tell with the globe on it. So I had to take the globe off. Yeah, sure enough, there was one that was burnt out. So I replaced the bulb. And I'm trying to get the globe back up, and I couldn't do it. My arms were getting too heavy. Yeah, I had to fit it through this little rung and put this little screw on there. And then Margo said, well, why don't we wait until so-and-so shows up next Friday and he can help us put it up? And I went, you mean I'm going to have to spend the whole week without the globe over my light in my office, reminding me that I couldn't do something that I could have done a couple of years ago? And I really wrestled with that one. I said, I think I'll really feel very crappy about that, because I should. And something shifted in my consciousness when I brought that into my awareness and said, What the hell am I doing to myself? What does it matter that the globe isn't up there right now and it's going to be up there in a couple of days? Or maybe not. But why would I allow something that simple or something that ridiculous to ruin my week, not just my day, but to ruin my week? And I feel so grateful that something happened inside of me because I didn't do this. I say, well, I think I'll let go of that. I mean, how many times have we done that one? I think I'll let go of that. And, it's like a boomerang, still there. Somehow or another, it just wasn't there anymore. It's like, oh, the globe's not on the light. We'll get it fixed later. Big deal. Big friggin' deal.
Jerry.
Yeah, Matt.
Lot of times I tend to be pretty hard on my smaller self. And recently I've been able to be grateful to my smaller self over and over again. Because just like what you were saying, you let Leslie came to you, to your higher self, your smaller self. And that's a gift. And so when I think about that, it makes it a lot easier. Because I'm the guy that does all the cooking in our house when we have company over. And that Martha Mary story is something that I live quite a bit. And if I can be in both, and be grateful for both, my life seems to be a lot better.
Grateful I have an office. Grateful I have a light. Grateful I could replace the light bulb. See, again, this is such an important piece of this teaching, I believe, is we're not throwing the small self out. We're saying, this is my little self having a tantrum, which it does quite often, right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, it's okay to have your tantrum. You're not bad. You're just a limited form of my consciousness. And I know you can't see enough to be grateful for this because you'd rather be stuck in horror or terrible circumstance, and that's okay too. I love you just the way you are, like a little 2 or 3 year old having a tantrum. Do I hate the kid for he's having a tantrum? Of course not. The terrible twos. It's a natural reaction, natural response when I don't get what I want. So why would I be angry at me if I get lost in that particular same mindset of I'm angry, I'm pissed off, I'm having a little bit of a tantrum because I'm not getting what I want. But I can see that from a higher level of consciousness and saying, ah, yeah, that's where it's coming from. But I don't have to make that. I don't have to identify that as being my truth. Back on page 227. Now, the vibration we hold is actually a high level that you can serve you to support you in your own lifting, but you have to choose it. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and in the Course in Miracles, there's an aspect of self, of consciousness, that's called the decider. And it is that aspect of consciousness. So in metaphysical terms, it's sometimes referred to as the witness consciousness, the observer consciousness is another word for it. It's that part of us that sort of steps away from right, wrong, good, bad, steps away from duality, doesn't get caught up in duality, but recognizes that in this particular circumstance in my life, there's a choice between higher consciousness and lower consciousness. And even in that realm of awareness, we realize that lower consciousness can still be quite seductive. I'd rather be angry than right. Or whatever particular thing you might be struggling with. So the observer consciousness says, Okay, here we are at this juncture of choice. Do I choose this or do I choose that? Now, there's an additional factor in spirituality, which is rather mysterious, which is sometimes referred to as grace. And how is that is gently defined is grace is the activity of divine consciousness on a particular person or a particular event. So that actually grace, which doesn't come from an outside source, but comes from my connection, my alignment with my divine consciousness. Grace can also aid me and help me in making a healthy decision through my observer self and through my observer consciousness, even though the little consciousness, small self, might be rather seductive in its approach to life. Grace is always present. How did Jesus put it? My grace is sufficient for you. There's always enough to tilt the scales in the direction of the positive or higher consciousness. There is always enough to be able to do that. You might not perceive that through your lower consciousness, but it's always there. I haven't talked about that in a long time. That's a really important piece.
Jerry,
Yes.
so this is this whole thing of making a choice in the moment and what we're going to do, what the attitude we bring, the energy we bring to any situation, reminds me of a couple of grace-filled experiences in my life. One took place there. I had invited a group of people to my home. We were in a class together. Richard Thomas was teaching it, and some of us had become friends. And so I had given an open invitation to the class to come to my home for a further discussion of one of the topics. It poured rain the night that we were going to start this. And only one person showed up. I'll call him Jim. Jim came in. He sat down. He was furious about something. And he and I had not gotten along in class. And he began to just beat me up. And he was blaming me for the weather. It was just choosing that night. It was just ridiculous. And I was so angry, but I decided I needed to choose peace. So I did, and I listened to him, and he went on and on for an hour.
I'm gonna go like this.
He became, when that hour was over, he became a totally different person. I had listened to him, I had responded to some of the comments. He became a totally different person, and in that time of change, we spent the next half hour really getting to know each other. He became my best friend. He became my best friend. We did so much together over the next number of years until he moved away, and he. I'm also thinking about my best friend today who has OCD. And that OCD drives so many of that person's behaviors. And what was interesting to me is that that person has become, she's accepted Christ into her life, and it has changed her. And it's really been a phenomenal thing. What I have learned about OCD is that it's often caused by someone being going through some unfortunate situation earlier in their life. And OCD appears to be, and this I'm not a psychologist, but appears to be a response to this so that they can be in control. And, but I have, by listening, by being with them as they walk through this experience, I've seen this person change, at least in my presence. And, but we have to choose this. We have to choose because our ego part of us is just roiling with emotion. But, and I can't do it every day. I can't do it in every situation. But in these two situations, grace has been there, and I'm very grateful for the experiences. And I'll stop now. Thank you.
Thank you, John. John, I have a question I'd like to ask you about your the first incident you talked about, the rainy day, the rainy evening. Obviously, you were a different person after that was over as well, too, right?
That's true.
Now, what's the
That's
difference?
true.
I know you sat there for a while and just listened and allowed this person to vent, do whatever they need to do. What's the difference between, let's say, letting yourself be a punching bag as opposed to letting yourself be just a good, open-hearted listener?
Wow, what a great question. I realized that he was hurting, that he was in pain. And so I was praying during that time. I was choosing not to react. I was choosing to ask him questions that didn't, I did not encourage him to be angry. I encouraged him to tell me more about why and what had happened. And he had gone through an accident and his brain had been damaged. And so part of this, I think, was caused by physical problems. But whatever, I had to choose to be at peace. I was holding peace in myself. I was hanging on desperately to my peace and trying to listen
Perfect.
and asking questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. The reason why I ask that, this is for everybody, is that so often I think we equate passivity with weakness or codependency. Whereas the way John is describing it is that I'm choosing a pathway where I am holding you in the highest light and the highest love possible for me in this time. I'm not, even though it might appear, let's say if there was a third party present, it appears you might be beating me up emotionally, right? That's not the truth here. I am holding higher ground. I'm in a place of higher truth, and I am seeing you that way. And because I see you at a level of higher truth, you are able to begin to grasp that yourself. I'm not doing that kind of, I'm not saying, well, I'm going to hold you in higher truth so you get to yourself. It's a natural event to happen that way. My perception of you, my awareness of you, my vision of you at this particular moment changes the energy of how you're holding yourself. It has to, cannot not. Now, it might not happen right away. It might not even happen in this lifetime. But love is always going to be effective. Love is always going to change things, especially unconditional love. This fits right in with what we're talking about, I think. Right in the middle of page 227. Now, the vibration we hold is actually a high level that can serve you to support you in your own lifting, but you have to choose it. You have to choose it. We don't do that for you. So I'm watching television. I'm watching the news on television. And my mind is playing, Ain't It Awful? About certain people that might be showing up. I have a choice. Do I hold them in the light of unconditional love or in anger and hatred and outrage? And how is that? First of all, I need to know how that affects me, but I also need to realize how that affects them. If they're in a bad state of mind right now, I'm making it worse. Do I really choose that? Do I really choose to see my brother or sister to be in pain? Oh, good. I'm glad that happens. Good. Screw them to the post. Am I happy to see my brother and sister in pain? It's a line from a song I wrote years ago. You can't hold your brother in the dark and expect to see the light. Put anybody in the dark, you're right along there with them. You might not think you are, but you are. You have been gifted with free will, and you must understand that the arithmetic teacher does not do the equation for the student. That is her work to learn it. She may show it on the blackboard. This is the arithmetic equation. You can learn yourselves. And she may correct your paper, but you do your own work. That might be an interesting question to ask ourselves this morning. What work am I called to do on myself today? Just today. Instead of just going boop, 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 kind of floating through today, you know, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. What work am I called to do today that will allow me to raise my consciousness to a higher level of awareness? Put that in our meditation this morning. The teaching we are gifting you with now, excuse me, and for weeks to come, will continue to be initiated teaching. Initiated teaching means you are required to learn certain things to move forward and up the mountain. In other words, you can't take the second step, you have to take the first step first. Here we go, everybody. We are saying these words for you. We are passing this message on to you. This is what we mean by taking the first step in a higher consciousness. Each day I know myself in a new way. Do you really? Each day I know myself in a new way. Do you really? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm the guy whose light in the office doesn't work. That could be my identity today if I like it, if I make it that way. Each day I know myself in an agreement to who I truly am. Who I truly am. Nobody can define that for you. And nobody's asking you to define it for yourself. It's a knowing rather than a definition. See, and that's one of the wonderful things that happens on Sunday morning, I believe. We get so immersed, I speak for myself here, I get so immersed in this work that I'm not even thinking about it, but I'm working through my higher consciousness. I'm saying, well, I'm working through my higher consciousness. I just am. I don't have to think about it, it's just there. And I would know the difference. You would know the difference if this was just an ego trip. Here's Jerry spouting off for another 45 minutes. I know the difference between that and just being here. So do you. You wouldn't be here. Each day I know myself in an agreement to who I truly am. Each day I say yes to the mountain before me. And as I climb the mountain in my awareness, I agree to perceive only truth. What is truth? What is an illusion? Truth is, simply put, I know we ask this question a lot. How do I know it's an illusion? What do they mean when we talk about it's an illusion? Is it an awareness? Excuse me. Is it an awareness that comes from my lower consciousness or from my higher consciousness? Is it an awareness about duality? Good, bad, right, wrong, black, white, tall, short, blah, 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 whatever distinctions you want to make? Or is it one, an awareness that embraces all things without judgment? That little simple teaching that I received a couple of years ago, asking myself the question, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? If it opens my heart, it's higher consciousness. If it closes it, it's lower consciousness. That's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the simplest formula I've got, the best way it works for me. If it closes my heart, it's lower consciousness. If it opens my heart, it's higher consciousness.
Jerry.
Yeah.
So I don't want to keep butting in here, but I have a another thought. So I'm going through some issues. So I'm currently reading and rereading some books about Ho'oponopono by Joe Vitale. And the whole point of Ho'oponopono is to clean yourself, clean all those pieces in your lower consciousness away so that you no longer are affected by them. Because whatever is there is going to impact the world and impact your experiences. So, with that in mind, you mentioned watching the news. And so, Joe Vitale tells a story of how he met with Dr. Hugh Len, who had been up in his hotel room, and asked him what he had been doing, thinking that Dr. Hugh Len, the teacher of Ho'oponopono, had been doing this great meditation or something else to prepare to teach his class. And Dr. Hugh Len told him that he was watching the news. And Joe thought, how crazy that you're going to come down and teach us about peace in this workshop, but you've been watching the news, which is bound to just change the way you're thinking about things and feeling about things. And Dr. Hugh Len said, I was watching the news to see what came up in me that I needed to clean. And the point is, as you clean it, it's removed from your higher consciousness. Your higher consciousness comes in and it changes the circumstances of your life. Now that's so anyway, I had read that and I thought about it. I have that issue when I watch the news. But anyway, just thought that was an interesting side. Thank you.
That's great, John. That's great. Because that really speaks to the truth. He's saying, and to put it in language we understand somehow or another, is I'm watching this to see what it brings up in me. What is there in my shadow? What is there that is hidden from me that I don't realize? So I'm putting myself in a position where that stuff gets touched and comes up to the surface. And when it comes up to the surface, I'm giving it the opportunity to heal. And that's true whether you watch the news or not. When something comes up, it's not that you're a bad person. It's not that there's something wrong with you. It's coming up in order to be able to be healed. Are you willing to do that? Now, this is really interesting on page 228. Now, what is not real will present itself to be witnessed and perceived. But the eyes that know the truth will only see the truth and what is real before her. The claim we make for you now, you are choosing the Christ itself as the true self. You choose the divine as you. Does not make you a small person with a bright light. It means the wholeness of who you are is brought forward in her full expression. That is just absolutely beautiful. I had that underlined, but I underline it again. The claim we make for you now, you are choosing. The Christ itself is the true self. You choose the divine as you, and that does not make you a small person with a bright light. It means the wholeness of you, you are, the wholeness of who you are is brought forward in her expression. So the small self says, I'm this little being with this wonderful candle holding the light. And the divine self says, you are the light. You're not just chasing away the dark. You are the light. There's no such thing as the darkness in the light. What does the light do? It destroys the darkness. That's who you are. Let me just finish this one piece and then we can do our meditation. Actually, we probably need to do it right now. Okay. Let me share that line again. It means you're not just a small person with a bright light. It means the wholeness of who you are is brought forward in her full expression. So we're going to take a few minutes to meditate. Get quiet. Open ourselves to healing. So you can put your stuff down. Get comfortable in your spot. Close your eyes if you like. Allow yourself to get into the rhythm of your breathing, pulsing of your heartbeat. And rest for a moment in the spaciousness that you have created. I am the light. I am the truth. I am the joy. I am the peacefulness. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall flow from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Get a sense of your vibration. your wholeness, your truth, your goodness. Your openness to grace. Becoming consciously aware again of the rhythm of your breathing. The breath of life, the movement of the universe, like the beating of your heart, pumping, resting, pumping, resting. I am one with all creation. I am unconditional love. Taking a couple of deep cleansing breaths, stretching a bit, opening your eyes when you're ready. Reminder, next Sunday is daylight savings time. So you need to flip your clocks up an hour. Spring forward. And also, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to hold our grandson, Finn, in prayer. He's having his 16th birthday today. And we are so very proud of him. So many ways. So thank you for sharing yourselves. Thanks for sharing your goodness, your grace, and we'll see you next week on time. Remember, it's going to be an hour early. I'll remind you again. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Jerry. Happy birthday, Finn.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. He knows you're here.